Let's step into a winter wonderland and take a look at White Christmas.
Yes.
The beloved holiday classic that's filled with heartwarming music, meaningful relationships, I'd say genuine laughs, and timeless messages around friendship, selfless love, and even, this is not a word we hear very often, honor. This movie beautifully aligns with Christian values and provides families with a very uplifting story to enjoy together. We're headed back to 1954. This is a 70-year-old movie. And see why it's a must-watch for families with kids of almost all ages. It's White Christmas today on Rocket Pop.
Rocket Pop is gone.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
We're talking about White Christmas. I mean, I find this so fascinating that I've got a 12-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl, and we can watch a 70-year-old movie, and they're in. They're in the whole time.
Same. My kids are the same way. They love this movie.
It doesn't make sense. The sensibilities are different. The pace is different. Everything is different, and yet
we're not in wartime. They have no frame of reference for wartime anything.
None whatsoever. Let me set the context here. So White Christmas. But by the way, if anything in you is like, well, I watch the Rocket Pop, I listen to Rocket Pop, but old movies, that's not really my thing. Easy,
pal. Just give us a minute.
Golly, why would you shut us up? He shut us off.
He's gone.
Well. What are we going to do? Let us gently persuade you. That's our goal today. Gently persuade you. Okay, two things, our goal. Either persuade you to watch this, or you're a family who's like, we like White Christmas. Can we get you to appreciate it even more? That's our goals for today.
Oh, how about, it was one of your goals to have people wear comical hats for the holidays?
I've been wearing this all year. The color changes.
You know what? It looks like the tail of one of those horses for dressage. You know, it's kind of like braided at the end. This kind of looks like that.
So if you're not watching, I'm wearing a Santa hat.
Yeah.
If you've seen one of those before,
there's a lot of holiday glee just coming through your look.
Oh my word! And I don't wear, like, this is not something I ever wear. And it's just so weird looking. And all I think is either someone is festive or someone's a little tipsy at the office Christmas party.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. Yeah. White Christmas was made in 1954, as I said, and it was based, strangely, off of a song. It was based off of a song that this guy Irving Berlin had written for a movie in 1942 called Holiday Inn, which has some overlap with White Christmas. Bing Crosby was in it. This song became, I think to this day, is the best-selling song of all time. There's been more recordings of this song that have sold ever. It is the song. And so they built...
Good job, Irv.
No kidding. So they built a movie around this. And the movie follows Bing Crosby, who was the first crooner. And here's a little bit of tidbit, a little tidbit of trivia. Bing Crosby was a crooner, which meant that he sang in a quiet but deep voice. And that voice would never have made him famous until the advent of microphones. Microphones, the only things that could make that little quiet deep voice loud enough for an audience to hear. And so he was the first of the crooners, very famous guy. And he was in a lot of movies as well, because not only was he a great singer, kind of a charismatic, interesting actor guy, very funny. He was in a series of movies with Bob Hope, a famous comedian. They were the Hope Crosby travel movies, the two of them together, funny, traveling around the world. Anyway, in this movie, Bing Crosby plays someone in the army, and he meets this guy played by Danny Kaye.
Always loved Danny Kaye personally.
He's funny. He's just funny. He's the funny guy in this, and incredible dancer. And the two
incredible talent. He's musically talented. This guy, he does it all. He's amazing.
It's all in Danny Kaye. He's so fun to watch. And the two of them together, it's like a buddy movie. So they, the story is they have met in wartime. They have a lot of admiration for their general, General Waverly, who is now retired. They go back to real life after World War II has ended. And the two guys, Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, they become this songwriting, producing duo, and they get really famous. Well, they find out that General Waverly has fallen on hard times and needs a little oomph at his inn, his hotel up in Vermont. So Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye get a crew of people to go up to do a show up there that's going to honor General Waverly and bring some money into the hotel. Now,
let's put on a show is always a good construct.
It's the Andy Rooney, we're just going to put on a show. And if that feels old-timey to you, good. It should. That's the point of this. It's just this old-fashioned. If you're like, well, that doesn't sound like much plot. Bingo, you nailed it. There's not a lot of plot here. It's a lot of songs. I should have led with this. It is a musical. So you're going to get all these songs throughout. I think there must be 12 or 13 songs in this, all written by Irving Berlin. I would say, aside from maybe one, all great. All great songs. They're all hum around the house. And now, they're not all Christmas songs, but they're all great songs. So it's really about four people. It's about Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. And these two women, they grab along the way to go on this adventure, played by Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen. And the four of them together are just wonderful.
Northern Kentucky's own Rosemary Clooney. Thank you.
The aunt of George Clooney.
Correct.
And she's really good in this. Vera Ellen, she wasn't in a lot. You have to watch out for this. She's obviously, this is known fact, she was highly anorexic. So this woman is bizarrely thin, like two-dimensional thin. Her dancing is unbelievable. She does this tap dancing thing where you're seeing her toes move. It's stunning. When she's on the stage dancing, everyone else is put to shame. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's true. This was the age of people controlling calories very tightly because their entire life was beholden to a studio. Yes. And the studio was going to choose which of the starlets to put in which movies. And it was like a staff that they had in-house where they would point at those people and go, you're in this movie. The next 6 weeks of your life is spoken for. So there was almost this fearful mania of, I've got to keep my look at a 10 at all times. And back then, part of that look was to look like a pixie, I suppose. It's disturbing to look at her, especially when they're wearing kind of these unitard outfits a couple of times because she's doing like ballet rehearsals, et cetera. But it's kind of part of the age of the time. You're looking back in time when that was more normative.
This movie is light and breezy until it gets kind of serious. And when it's serious, it really has these hooks. The filmmaker is just so good at making us feel these things along the way. And the hooks are all around the relationship between these guys and how they're out to serve this general who they have nothing but respect for.
Yeah, I think it's worth saying that it's not serious and heavy because of problematic themes.
No.
It's serious and heavy because the relationships matter so much. And so it's the kind of serious we would love for our families to be exposed to and think relationships really, really matter. So it's tugging at some heartstrings, and it's not for pity's sake or something like that. It's about the depth of human relationships.
Let me run you through some of the songs that are in this comment along the way. Begins with this song, The Old Man. They're out in somewhere in World War II, and they're singing this song to honor the general as he's leaving. So it's almost like they're doing a little stage show in the midst of combat.
Right.
Because General Waverly's moving, retiring. And so they sing a song to honor this general.
We'll follow the old man wherever he wants to go.
It's kind of cheeky. Then it goes into White Christmas.
Yep.
And then there's a song called Heat Wave, which it's a quick hit song. Maybe the most famous song outside of White Christmas is...
We have Sisters, Sisters. Yeah. We're seeing a little club show of these traveling girls. We see some club scenes of the girls in their act. We also see some club scenes, insert more songs, of the Danny Kaye Bing Crosby act.
Yes. So it's kind of a greatest hits of Irving Berlin. Blue Skies is in there, other famous songs. But Sisters, Stephen, you have two young daughters. I've got two young daughters. Since they were about, you know, 4 and 2, they would walk around the house saying, sister. Right. Sure. And there's a funny reprise of that where the guys, Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby, are trying to let the girls escape from this rude landlord who's trying to get money from them. So they do the song Sisters kind of as those women lip syncing. Yes. Apparently it was improv'd at the time. They're like, we're putting this in the movie. It's just a fun, light moment.
How funny.
The best things happen when you're dancing. It's this wonderful little song between Danny Kaye and Vera Ellen where they're outside of the club dancing for no good reason. And you're like, well, this doesn't advance
because it's
the
a
plot.
Musical.
It's a musical. We got to put this in. Snow. You remember the song where they're on the train?
Snow.
Well, one of my favorites is this quiet moment between Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney. They're slowly falling in love. Count your blessings instead of sheep. It's a beautiful little song. It's such a nice little song. Gee, I Wish I Was Back in the Army. There's a real heavy song kind of called Love You Didn't Do Right By Me. It's at the end of Act Two where Rosemary Clooney, it's a bit of a Three's Company misunderstanding where Three's Company misunderstanding, but she thought one thing about Bing Crosby, but that's not actually what happened. She sings a very sad song. But all the songs are great. This movie is VistaVision, so you've got this wonderful color. It feels big. It feels larger than life. It is fun to watch.
When we see VistaVision, and I think of something like Oklahoma, when you see VistaVision, what does that mean to you, Jeff? What are we looking at that's different when we see VistaVision on an old movie?
Yeah, you'll see that a lot. It'll go presented in VistaVision. It has to do, it's complex, but it basically has to do with how large the image was on the film that's going through the camera. And so it just looks bigger. The lenses make it feel bigger. Sometimes it's in a different, what's called aspect ratio. Instead of being, maybe old movie was in a square, this one's going to feel more wide, and it looks better on a modern television. Old televisions were a little more square. Modern televisions are wide. So it's going to fill up almost that whole screen.
So it's kind of a widescreen, more of a widescreen feel. And does it have anything to do with the color, or was that something afterward?
Some of the color comes into that because it allows for more information on the film itself. So the colors pop. One of the things you'll notice is Bing Crosby's eyes are just crystal blue. They're unbelievably
like disturbingly blue. They seem artificial or something. Did they put drops in your eyes?
Apparently he was a blue-eyed man. So that's Craft. Now let's move on to the message. There are a lot of messages packed into this. And it's funny because I think if you saw this movie when it came out in 1954, you probably wouldn't think much of these messages. You'd go, I don't know, it's just a movie, right?
Right. This is the life that we live.
Not anymore. These are old. I think we use this phrase a lot, and I think it's good. These are old-fashioned messages, but these are the timeless messages that we want to hold on to.
Yeah.
The whole plot of this movie is built around these guys are doing something selfless. And there's some tension there about doing something selfless. Bing Crosby's a little tired of it, but Danny Kaye knows we need to do something. They decide to do something selfless. They give of themselves. They ask other people to give of their time around Christmas to go honor, not just a guy. Like that would be one level of, oh, that's an interesting thing. They're going to honor a man who led them in war. Now, by the way, this guy wasn't this sweet, avuncular, the general. He's gruff. He's kind of mean at the beginning. He's a little off-putting, but you can tell they have so much. Here's a word we don't hear much. Respect. They have so much respect for this man that they want to do whatever. Like, they're like, this guy did everything for us. We can't give some of our time and talent as little musicians to go honor him and do something for him. That respect tied with honor is so huge. And not to spoil a great moment, but I just want everybody to watch out for this moment. They're getting ready for the big climax where the big show is going to happen. The general doesn't know this show's about to happen. So there has to be this this conniving to get him to put on his uniform to go to the show. And like, basically they take all of his clothes and get rid of him so that this is all he can wear. So he puts on the uniform and he's coming down the stairs and his granddaughter is there. And she sees Grandpa in his uniform and she goes, oh, Grandpa.
Grandpa, you look wonderful.
You didn't expect me to come down in my bathrobe, did you?
No.
And she is just awestruck by this man and what that uniform means. That moment doesn't happen in a modern movie.
No.
She has like
this honoring awe of the patriarch of the family coming down the stairs. Oh, that's our grandfather. He's amazing looking. It feels like it's from another planet. It seems like it's something out of the Bible or something.
Some of the context of this movie, again, we don't get 70-year-old movie. In 1954, we were about the country was about 9 years removed from the war to end. I mean, this was the big war. So this, everyone felt this. When they're singing a song, What Do You Do With a General, which is all about what happens to someone who was really successful at war and they come back. That was actually in the
movie. That had to resonate with a lot of people.
Yes. Like
I was really important in the war, and now I run the garage down the street.
These are those Norman Rockwell things.
Yes.
And it's so understanding that this wasn't like some old, this wasn't like great grandpa's war. This was something that that fathers had fought in. I got to think there's some dads taking their kids to the movies and they're getting choked up because, oh my word, this was my reality 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I was over in, you know, France doing this very thing. So that's some of the messages honoring grandpa. The real mechanism of the last act. And this is where the misunderstanding with Rosemary Clooney comes in. We're not doing this to promote ourselves. Matter of fact, we don't want to make a big deal out of this. We just want to honor this guy. And it's costing them. there's a funny moment where it starts to dawn on Bing Crosby how much this is costing them. And Danny Kaye's explaining it. And he's like, well, it's a lot of money. That's fine. We're going to do this for this guy.
Yeah. It strikes me when you talk about this theme of selflessness. It's easy to say you would never make a movie today about some selfless act. Okay, it probably wouldn't be a hit movie. But there might be a smaller movie that talks about someone sacrificing for someone else. But what we would do today is we would make that so cloying and heavy-handed, and we would need to say, what a sacrifice. This person is a saint. And this movie, it's, you know, they talk about it. Okay, this will be cost a lot of money, et cetera. But it's so joyful and it's so meaningful to them that like, no, we want to do this. This is valuable. We see the value in this. And I think that's what feels so apart from our present reality is if in our culture, someone does something selfless, it's like, do I get a medal for it? Will everyone know about it? That's so important. And so this is the kind of movie you want your children to see, to shape their character, to go like, you know, part of what feels life-giving about life is service to others and honoring. And I mean, you could have a conversation after the movie, like, who do we want to honor in our life right now? And why don't we write them a note or make them cookies or whatever? I mean, it's such, as you say, it's such a rare thing to see coming across a movie screen.
It's that selflessness. It's interesting. Sometimes it bothers me like, oh, the message of Christmas. You see this in a lot of movies. The message of Christmas is that the Lord came down in the form of Jesus.
But, I think that is the message. That's the main message.
But there are interesting, good sort of, for lack of a better term, like vibes in certain Christmas. And this selflessness, I like that it's somehow attached to Christmas movies. And the other movie that you can watch a review of us talking about is It's a Wonderful
Charity.
Life. It's charity. It's doing things for others. It's just such a beautiful, there's so many good messages here. So it aligns with a secular Christian worldview that used to exist. And what I mean by that is that even if someone wasn't a passionate Jesus follower, there were certain Judeo-Christian ethics that were woven into the culture once upon a time.
Yes.
And these, again, at the time, didn't seem radical. Some of these things might feel a little radical today.
Yeah.
That's so right. That's message. Finally, family fit. What do you look out for? Who is this appropriate for? I was thinking about it. It's appropriate for almost anybody. The only things you might want to watch out for, if you got little ones, at the beginning, they're at war. And so at the end of the big song and dance thing, a bomb hits and a wall falls down and almost and hurts Danny Kaye's arm. It's not the worst thing, but okay, little explosions. Again, Vera Ellen looks, she's wearing a real tight leotard and she looks a little uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to watch in some moments, and there's a lot of romance in it, but it's nothing terrible. I don't know if your kid is six and can track along with it. To me, it's one for all ages.
Yeah. For that reason, I mean, I don't know what you're going to rate this thing, but to me, it's like a 98 out of 100. There's a little bit of, you know, romantic frolicking and kind of like, you know, the guys in the girls' dressing room kind of a thing that feels a little flirty or whatever. So, you know, there's a little bit of an edge where you might have to have one sentence of explanation for the kids, et cetera, but it's quite pure.
Yes. I love this movie. My family loves this movie. Every year, one of our traditions is we go get the Christmas tree, we decorate it. That night, we sit down and we watch White Christmas as a family. We all love it. We're entranced by it. Again, I have daughters. I'm wondering, would a seven-year-old boy like this? What do you think, Stephen?
I think that a seven-year-old boy might be a little distracted by this movie. But I think that once you get to the age, and I'm trying to think of when did I start appreciating Danny Kaye? It was probably around 15, 16, where I could understand the humor. And I could see that's a talented guy. I like seeing these people jump around and dance around. So I don't know. There might be a little window of young boy that might not hit for this movie.
Sure. Yeah. They could track along with it, but maybe they just they got some Legos there. We love White Christmas. It is a fun movie. It's an engaging movie. It's got such good messages. We give this movie 10 out of 10 manipulative injured elbows. You're going to have to watch the movie to figure out what that means. We hope you enjoy White Christmas.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.
And may all your Christmases be white.